tonight's Super Bowl. You guys excited? Super Bowl? Yay, Super Bowl, NFL, football, right? Yeah, it's good. When I think about the Super Bowl, I was thinking back like the most pivotal Super Bowls in my life. I remember being back when the Cowboys were really America's team back in the 90s. Anybody remember that? Were you guys born yet? Well, for me, I was born and the Cowboys were awesome to me. And they won 3 Super Bowls during that time. That was a big run for us, you know. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irving, you know, all those guys, and a bunch of Hall of Famers. I was excited about that back in the day. And then after those years, Jerry Jones, the owner, he kind of tore the team apart, and it became less of America's team for me after that. And I just kind of got out of like watching football. But the next kind of pivotal experience with the Super Bowl for me was probably about 10 years ago. And what made me think about it was I actually watched the Super Bowl at my parents' house when I was married, but I was living there. Okay, so like this was a bad time in my life for me. Like I had to live with my parents again after being out. Okay, so this is probably about when I was 30. Okay, so I had been out of my parents' house for a while. And I remember this. There was a sequence of like almost like a series of unfortunate events that led to this moment for me and this year. So back when I was first married, I thought everything was going to be awesome. I thought it was going to be great. Like, so right before me and Mariah got engaged, everything was booming for me. I was a videographer and I had business lined up, like buku's of business lined up for this whole year. And some going into the next year, had contracts signed, like people were ready to do this thing. We're doing marketing videos, and I was like, man, this is what God wants me to do. I've really felt that, and I felt that I was in doing the right thing and in the right place. And right when we got engaged, right after that, it was the big kind of like stock market crash that happened back then. Do you guys remember that? The stock market crashed. And the first thing that's cut whenever people lose their profits is marketing money. That's the first thing that goes, unfortunately, Megan. You know, she's going into marketing. It's the first thing that goes. And so all of a sudden, I start getting all these calls or just people avoiding my calls, say, you know, about what's going on. Hey, so we're going to do this project. And it was like, hey, unfortunately, because of the stock market crash, we have to save and cut expenses. We no longer need your services. You've been fired, basically, you know, or just people that avoided me and wouldn't, you know, we had it in writing that we were going to do this and they just pulled out. And so all of a sudden going into marriage, me and my wife are looking at this situation, like, how are we going to make money? She was going to be in school. And I didn't have any money coming in for videography. It went from like a lot to zero. What are we going to do? And so we had to figure it out. And so I remember we got married. I had a few gigs that still seemed like they were going to come in. I didn't fully like adjust as quickly as I really should have, seeing what was happening. And so right after we got married, went on our honeymoon, everything was awesome. Spent some money that we probably shouldn't have spent now, looking back on it. And then we came back to the real world, and there's no work. And we have to pay our rent, and we have to pay our expenses. And at the time, we had taken in this homeless man to help him because we had stuff going. You know, that was part of our newly married life. That was kind of a stupid move, but there was just a lot of things that we were having to take care of. Got pregnant 10 days after we got married. So a baby's on the way, no money. How are we going to pay rent? I've got to find a job, okay? Well, I had to go back to Chick-fil-A. And for those of you who know Chick-fil-A is awesome. It's an awesome time in my life that I worked there for 10 years. Like, well, 12 years off and on. 10 years I was a general manager. That was an awesome time for me, but I was so ready to be out of it. When you eat Chick-fil-A 3 times a day, and God, the Lord's chicken, you know, he provided manna from heaven, you know, for free. But I got tired of it. I got tired of Chick-fil-A. I know you guys love it. And I was ready to be out of that place. It was stressful. It's kind of like this crazy stressful job. So, but I had to kind of like tail between my legs, go back to Chick-fil-A and say, hey, so I know I left for videography. it was doing awesome, but it didn't work out because of the economy. And they're like, you can come back. And so I had a job. But instead of being a manager, I was a regular employee. And I didn't make much money. And when I'm newly married and we're trying to figure this out, we lost our insurance. You know, like we're having to get some help with that. And so that's the story, right? That's the story. So like then we had to figure out some place to live. We couldn't afford to live where we lived on 280 anymore. And we had to find someone to live fast. Somebody came to me and said, I know of this old lady who has a trailer on her property that and she just needs some help, some caretaking. You won't have to pay hardly anything for rent. Would you be up for it? And we had to move out quickly. So this was a decision we had to make immediately. So we went and met the lady. She seemed really nice. She was like really sweet to us. She was excited about us being there. The trailer was a pretty big trailer. Like it was like a full-size home. It had a lot of rooms. And we're like, this is not where we want to live in the middle of nowhere, Chelsea, Alabama. But let's do it. Let's try to figure things out. We're married. This is God's way of providing. It was through somebody at our church. Kind of finding the contact. So we went and lived there. She said she had agreed for us to move in. So we moved in, and I get a call at work the day after we move in, and Mariah said, you've got to come here immediately. That lady is here with somebody, some guy, and her, like, I guess it was like her grandson or somebody that was like kind of a caretaker for her. They're at the trailer. He has a gun. And they're asking us why we are in this trailer. They're asking us why we're in here. and so like I left work and be like, somebody's got a gun on my family. I'm going. And that day, we ended up moving out. And it turns out this lady had Alzheimer's, and she totally forgot who we were. The other guy that she had brought didn't know anything about us. And she was saying, I don't know who these people are. I don't know why they're here. And we had to move out as quickly as possible. We ended up kind of talking through it. And eventually she came to and was like, okay, well, they can stay. But we were like, nah, like we are out. This is not the right situation. And I told some people at my church and they quickly made space for us, really quickly. They were like, we got a little room in the basement. Come, you can live. I didn't have enough money to take on an apartment yet. I hadn't gotten paid from Chick-fil-A yet. And okay, so like this started this kind of sequence for us for that like year and a half where we ended up living in numerous different homes in our church family. We were part of a church plant, and they had taken us in. They would take us in for a little while. And then we would go to another place, and it just kind of like the way it worked out. So can you imagine being newly married and you don't have a place, like you lose your job, and you know, it's like I get it. I get when you guys go through stuff and like your fears going into these things. Because I lived them. And through it all, we were comforted in many ways. So we ended up how did we get to the Super Bowl with my parents? We ended up that my parents were going to take us in. They took us in for a little bit. And the reason they took us in is because a person in our church had a townhouse that they were like, hey, we're moving. You guys can live here. And you can live here basically like for nothing. Just enough to make our mortgage. We're not going to upcharge it for you guys. You guys are in ministry with us. You live here. And it was something we could actually afford by then. And so we were waiting there with my parents, you know, to move in. And that was a good time. But I just remember thinking back of that Super Bowl and thinking, man, who would have thought that kind of life would happen after such a cool thing of like wanting to be married and waiting. For me, 29, you know, I got married when I was 29 we got engaged when I was 29, about 30 when I got married. And I had waited so long for this moment. I thought it was something I really wanted, like to happen, right? And I wanted it so bad. And then God had a different circumstance that He allowed us to go through, and it was amazing. And like when you're in the middle of it, you don't realize how God comforts. You don't always see it. You don't always see God's provision. But when I look back on it, I see how God came through in very clear ways for us. And the biggest way I saw is just through his people being obedient to his word and wanting to care for us. It was huge. And I still have awesome relationships with all of those people because of how God used them in our life. So we've been in this God of All Comfort series, and we're going to be here for a couple more weeks. And I'm going to be in one verse tonight. Again, I thought I was going to be in like eight verses, but we're only going to be in one. And we're going to be there. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Pretty neat. I'll read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We're going to be in verse 4 tonight. So let's read it again and just kind of focus in on 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This is almost like a part two of last week, so I'm going to continue some of these thoughts and reintroduce some of the points that we have and build on them. We talked about a perspective under circumstance and affliction, and our points were all kind of coming from this perspective, and I wanted you guys to almost say it and own these things. But first point was, number one, God is always merciful to me when circumstance and affliction come my way. God is always merciful to me. And we see how Paul thanks God because he's the Father of mercies, and how we can know that in every situation we go through, even though it's hard and even though it may be rough, God is the Father of mercies, meaning that there's some sort of merciful thing that he's keeping us from that we don't know often. He's in control. And oftentimes when we go through things, his mercy's at play in ways that we can't imagine. And I joked a lot about this, and we experienced this a little bit ago, and I always think this way this past week, and just being in Clear, and the traffic's awful, right? The traffic's terrible, and we're always waiting to get over that bridge or the train track that they're about to fix. But one of the things that I've kind of learned along the way is that, like, anytime that you're stopped, there's other things going on in the world, and there's been times where I realized that there's big car accidents waiting down the road, that if we would have got through the train track as fast as we wanted to get through, we would have been right in the middle of those circumstances, you know, like right about the time we would have been entering there is right about the time the car accident happened. And there's just on and on and on things like that I can look at life and see that, like, God's mercy was in play if I would have, had a different situation happen that I really thought I wanted at the time, how that would have led to me being in a really terrible situation in life. And so God's always merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. We know we deserve as Christians. We know before Christ, in our sin, we don't deserve anything from God. We deserve hell. We deserve separation from God because of our iniquities. But in spite of that, God's mercy, he doesn't just not give us those things. He protects us. He's always merciful, right? So God's always merciful. Number two, he always comforts me. In the middle of circumstance and affliction, when they come my way, God will always comfort me. He's the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our affliction. He has the answer to everything we need in every situation. The only way we can truly be comforted is through God and his provision and through the ways that he's uniquely designed himself to comfort us, right? And so God comforts us in all our affliction. We learned last week that he does this through Jesus Christ, his son, through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and through his fatherly nature, right? And also we're going to learn tonight that he does it in a fifth way, okay? So he comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort others who are in any affliction with the comfort we ourselves, the same comfort we ourselves are comforted by God. God also comforts us through other believers being obedient to his word. That's another way. You're going to see all throughout Scripture that God comforts us. God comforts us through other believers being obedient to his word, period. And it's amazing. Like, just like my story indicates, you probably have a story. If you look back at every low point in your life as a believer, there's probably some believer that you can pick out that God used to comfort you and give you a word from him, right? Very specific ways. Think about every low point in your life. God probably used somebody. Do you agree? Can you think of those people? It's amazing to think about it. I remember back when I was talking to Jeff, the guy that ended up giving us the apartment for bare minimum price, and I was just like, man, I'm so thankful to you. Like, you came through, man. You came through. You're lowering. You could be making $300 or $400 more, but you're trying to help us. And man, I'm so thankful to you and indebted to you. And he said, hey, stop. The reason we did this is not because you're awesome or because of anything you did. The reason we did it is because we read the Bible and we saw how God wants us to comfort other people. And we've had God comfort us in very specific ways. And he's used his people to do it. And all we're doing is we have the means right now to pay that forward. We just want to be obedient to his word. So like whenever you think, like, yeah, you can thank us and that's cool. But like really in your heart, when you think about this situation, you really need to thank God because he did this. He orchestrated this. He gave us provision so that we can give it to you. He gave us comfort in so many ways, and through that, he changed our hearts towards helping other people, and now we want to comfort you. And so, like, when you look back and you think of these people and you have this warm spot in your heart, what you need to understand is God's ministry of comfort happened through them. Not because of them, it happened through them, and it came from him. That makes sense? And you can't be like, well, yeah, they were just nice, and they were just good people, and they just had a good heart. No. God did that. He changed them. He made them do that. And it should well up in us gratitude towards God when we think of all of the ways along the way that God has comforted us. He comforts us through believers being obedient to his word. And so we had the first two points about God in the middle of affliction. This is point number three that I want to continue on with. When circumstance and affliction come my way, I can know this, that God is always preparing me to comfort others. When circumstance and affliction come my way, God is always preparing me to comfort others. That's what it says. So that he comforts us in our affliction, so that. Meaning, like, that's just like a direct correlating grammatical term that we need to understand. So that, it's like cause and effect. Why does God comfort us? So that we can comfort others in any affliction in the same way that God's comforted us. It's a purpose that you can always ask yourself. We always want to ask, like, what's God doing in the middle of this? Why is this happening? Why is he allowing this? What is he doing? And this verse is super clear. So that he's preparing you so that after you experience his comfort, you can give it to someone else. All right? It's not just for us. So what's the Bible say about trials? It's clear. Your trials and tribulations are never just for you. He always has someone else in mind. Right? He always has someone else in mind. We know that what God's doing first is that he wants to have a relationship with us. I love the song we just sang about that, how he loves us to our core, and he's pursued a relationship with us, not because of us, but in spite of us, that he lavishly gives grace, not just mercy. He doesn't just not give us what we deserve, which is hell. He actually gives us so much more, nothing that we deserve, nothing we could earn. He gives us grace of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, coming and living a perfect life we couldn't live, and being able to empathize with us in every way. He gracefully lavishes comfort upon us. It's readily available if we can turn and surrender our life to Jesus. It's so ready, and he does it so that we can know him better. It's pretty neat. Like just the amazing fact that God comforts us through a relationship with Him, that we can have a personal relationship. There's certain religions that they can't understand God or know God in any way themselves. They have to go through someone else, like a priest or some other kind of mediator, because they can't have contact with God. We, through the Holy Spirit inside of us, have comfort through a relationship with God. We can have contact with Him. We can hear from Him directly through His Word, understand His words. We can pray to Him whenever we have need. And He comforts us in the midst of our affliction. He wants to build a relationship, okay? He wants us to fully know Him. Pretty cool stuff. Fully know Him. And I said this last week, but I want to hit it home again. So often we pray the prayer that we want to know God, want to know Him fully. But then when trial and affliction come and hard times come, or somebody lets us down, or somebody who we thought we were counting on, you know, does something to hurt us and all those kind of things, we ask, why God? Why? Why? And what He wants to do is in the middle of the circumstance, teach us to rely on Him and know Him better. All right, there's a very specific way that He wants us to know Him. It's through His comfort, His ability to comfort us through anything and everything. Right? How can we be comforted if we aren't first afflicted? How can we know God's ministry of comfort if we don't ever have a need of it? That makes sense? And so He does that, but then in the midst of it, He's also doing something else. He's preparing us, because He's got other people lined up that we're going to run into one day that need to experience that same comfort that He gave us. So first greatest command happens. We learn to love the Lord our God with all of our mind and all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength, right? He teaches us how to do that in the middle of affliction. Sometimes it takes us, some of us, longer than others, right? We complain and we're not patient and we're frustrated in the middle of it. But through it all, He's doing His work, and He teaches us how to do that, how to make Him first, how to glorify Him. And then He says the second greatest command is like it, is that you will love your neighbor as yourself. So we learn to be comforted by God, then what's supposed to happen is that we become a conduit of comfort to other people. Pretty cool stuff, right? So that's the objective. It's bigger than us. He wants us to know Him so that we can allow others to know Him. God strategically has given us experiences because there's someone else designed that He's designed good works that you would walk in, and it has to do with people, all right? So it says, with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort, all right? How many times in your life have you gotten comfort from other people? Have you experienced this? How many times in your life have you gotten very specifically comfort from someone who's been through the very same thing that you've gone through? Right? All right, so like there's like general comfort that the Bible speaks of, that like the word's just sufficient for everything. But it's kind of nice when you go up to someone and you tell them what's going on with your life, and you say, hey, I'm a young married and I'm struggling and we don't know how we're gonna make ends meet. And then someone like me comes up and says, hey, can I tell you the story of my own series of unfortunate events for a minute? Like, let me tell you that. And you're like, wow, okay, you get it. You get what's going on. Okay, you've experienced God in a very specific way that can help me. And experiences are that way, guys. There's something very specific God's doing. In every very specific circumstance in my life, very unique circumstance in my life, I'm going to tell you, every one of them I've gotten to talk to someone over the last 10, 15 years that I can now empathize and relate to in a way that I never would have been able to if I wouldn't have gone through it. Maybe not never. That I wouldn't have been able to empathize in a very intimate, specific way. Okay? And I want to say that because I don't want to take away. Sometimes, side note, sometimes people can take what I'm saying too far, and they could say, hey, well, you've never been through it. You don't have anything to say to me. And that's just not true. Like the word's sufficient. And Jesus went through everything we've been through, and he wrote a Bible displaying it all to us. And if we know that, then we know how to comfort others for sure. But God's given us very specific circumstances to use. And it's powerful when you use them, especially when you point them to Jesus in the middle of it, right? But how many ministries have started from people that God helped them in very specific ways, and then as a result, they started a ministry focused on helping others in that way? Think through it. You've probably been a part of the ministry. You've started that ministry. I know for me, God comforted me in my collegiate times. I've told you that. Like, those were the most afflicting time of my life, one of them. And man, and God met me through it. And now I want to like pour that forward. I want to like pay that forward to other people, which is why we came down and did college ministry at Westwood. And it's ultimately one of the catalysts for starting this church down here and being a collegiate focused church, right? So what in your life has God allowed you to go through that either you have been able to use, or if you had eyes to see, you could be able to use to pour comfort in other people in that situation? I'm telling you, if you've experienced God's comfort, it wasn't just so that you can have this feeling or this like nice little, like, I'm good with God kind of thing. It was always about having that and then pouring it into someone else. You need to think about how to use it. Makes sense? Last week, I kind of talked about this illustration of being caught up in my basketball days. And the first part of that was I was so focused on my glory and my own things when it came to basketball in high school. I remember when we actually had to move my senior year, it was so afflicting for me. I had to leave everything that I was comfortable with, all the people I knew, my girlfriend and all my friend group that I finally was able to develop after moving around my whole life, and leave people that were recruiting me to play basketball, and leave all of the people that knew me in that situation, just relationships and people that I was like ultimately counting on. And then what God did through it all is he steered me to ministry at a local camp that I never would have gone to if I wanted to move to Cartersville, Georgia, which is right next to Rome, Georgia. And through that camp, I came to find Jesus in a different way than I've ever realized it before. All right? Now, I talked about it. God comforted me in the middle of that. He comforted me. But the result of that is everything I'm doing now. And when I think back about it, like any kind of impact that God's allowed me and my family to have in my life, that was a pivotal circumstantial moment that I look back and say, man, that was the fork in the road right there. Now, could have God done something else to find me? Yeah, he totally could have. And if I'm in him, he probably would have. But when I look back at that circumstance, I'm like, wow, like without that, I wouldn't be here in the way that I am. I don't know how I would have ended up in Montevallo planning a church. I don't know how it ended up in Alabaster doing college. I don't know. I don't see that. But I know this, that was a catalyst that led me down this path. God had a design, and through it, other people have been comforted. Through it, God has used our ministries for people to come to know Jesus, for us to connect with people in ways that we never would have ever ran into them otherwise, right? All of these things. I would have never met my wife if I wouldn't have done what I did. All of these things. And so God is doing something that's big. And I can tell you, like, whatever happened, if you can focus in on who he is and glorifying him in the midst of it, being comforted by him, and you can really be in that, then what he's going to do is he's going to give you an opportunity. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, and you pray very specifically, God, help me be able to pay this forward to somebody and use it, man, you're going to have it. He wants to answer that prayer. That's what he wants to do. So that, right? He comforts us so that we can comfort others. Okay? And so he does it through our experiences often. But not only does he do it through our experiences, he does it through the word that's been poured out into us. Through the word. The word, super specific. And these aren't mutually exclusive. Experiences and word, they aren't mutually exclusive. They work together. But sometimes they're mutually exclusive, depending on the circumstance. How many times has God poured a word into you that you've been able to use to comfort someone else? There's so often that I talk to people and they're like, man, I was on the Bible app and I read the verse of the day, right? I read the verse of the day. I read the verse of the day. This is what people tell me all the time. I read the verse of the day, and then that day I ran into someone who needed to hear that verse. And I would have not thought about that verse if it hadn't been for the Bible app. And God using the Bible app and my wanting to focus in on him at the beginning of the day, he used that to very specifically give to someone else and comfort them, right? You know that. Like the things that you've been taught over the years that you thought, man, like it's just in there, you don't remember it, and then some way along the way, you run into someone, and because you were taught the truth, you were able to pour that truth into someone else. It's what God intends. All the time, God pours it and uses the word to do it. God allows us to comfort others through our possessions. You guys think that you just have an extra bedroom in your house so that you can have a game room. That's not true. You may use it that way, but I'm telling you, like, God also gave you that bedroom so that you could take someone in when they had need. Like someone like me, who doesn't have any place to go, that's a brother in Christ, you know, you're going to know the word to say, hey, take care of your brothers. What good is it just to tell them to go and be well fed? Help them out in circumstance. And through that, you're going to help someone. You have possessions that God's given you, not just for you. It's to steward for the ministry that he's put us on this planet to do, right? Like, you think you have a surplus in your bank account just so that you can buy the next video game that's coming out that's really cool. You know, like do that, but also be open to the fact that God maybe gave you that so that you can help someone else or that you can provide for his ministry to go out to this world. You know, he has something else in mind with those things that he does, that he wants us to steward for his glory. That makes sense? So our possessions are big. Man, I can tell you, like, there's so many times where I've seen on Facebook one of my friends post and say, hey, you know, we're looking for this and we have need of this. And I'm like, man, okay, that's awesome because we have something extra that's very specifically what they need. Why don't we just give it to them? And then God used that to help them in a way and provide for them. And they got to experience God's comfort as a conduit through us, right? Like, there's just so many things that, you know, giving people a ride with your car, you know? They need a ride, and you can give them a ride. You can get them to places. Got extra meal plans at the CAF. Swipe somebody in with it. Don't just let it go to waste. Go connect with someone. God gave you it for your provision, but also so you can provide for other people. And there's numerous people in this room that have done that for me and for others, and that's pretty cool. Okay? He also comforts others through our time. It's not always convenient to be a ministry of comfort to people. It's not always. I'm going to tell you, most of the time, it's going to require some sort of sacrifice. But just be comforted in this. Like God has comforted you by spending his time with you. He's made himself available to you every second of the day if you want to have it. Every second. You can go to him whenever you want, right? And so that's pretty awesome. Now, we're finite. God has all the, he operates outside of time. I get it. Like, he has all the time in the world compared to us. We're not God, but at the same time, God gave us time not just to use for us, not just to be selfish with. That makes sense? And Jesus sacrificed his life with his time for us. And he wants us to emulate him. So, you know, what the love of God is this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. What will we do? You know, can we be like that? Lay down his life. That's definitely time. He spent a lot of time with us. And he spends a lot of time ministering to us because he's that kind of God. It's pretty cool. And he calls us to be a part of that. Okay? Even when it's hard, even when you've had a bad day, even when you feel kind of nauseous, even when you have a headache, even when you'd rather do something else, right? In fact, those are the times God gets great glory, because a lot of times we get to step out in faith in a way and just say, hey, God, you know, I normally wouldn't have done this right now, but I'm going to trust you and I'm just going to pray. And like, hey, you know, like you've given me this opportunity, I'm going to walk in it. It's amazing how many times when I've prayed things like that, like, hey, just help me like not be selfish, how God's like cleared up my headache and, you know, he's done those things. And I look back and I'm like, man, I was so encouraged to be able to pour that time into someone else when I didn't feel like it at first. I'm so happy I did that because I got closer to God in the middle of it. And I got to give God to them because we talked about the Bible or we talked about something that they really needed to hear. Because I always look at like helping people not as just time for me to functionally help them. I want to find out about their life. I want to find out how I can pour into them, like what kind of word they need. How, you know, I pray for them. I want to comfort them in those ways. Share the gospel if they need to hear it, right? Like those are opportunities that are just like setups. You know, like God's like set me up volleyball spike if I can take advantage of it. Kind of moments. Okay. So with our time, so experiences, the word that God's poured into us, possessions, our time. And ultimately, we're going to really cover this in the next few weeks, the gospel. We can comfort people with the gospel. Here's the thing. Anybody out here that needs comfort and they don't know the gospel, I'm telling you, that's the ultimate way to comfort them. And if we don't take advantage of that opportunity, we're missing out. You can try to give them false hope and all of these things and in possessions and money and purpose that's focused on their job and getting good grades and all of these things. You can try to help them through those things or help them move or help them relocate or, you know, all those things. Do those things. But I'm just telling you, if you don't give them the gospel, they're never going to have comfort. Ever. They're not. They don't have the ability to be comforted outside of Jesus because he's the God of all comfort, all of it. Make sense? So we have to spread the gospel. Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, talks about this, that they'll see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. We do the good works, not just to be an end of themselves. We do the good works so they'll glorify the Father who's in heaven. That's what they were created to do. It's their purpose, right? So if we don't tell them why we're doing our good works, then we're missing this aspect of comfort that will satisfy it all, right? And so we got to grow in that. We got to grow in saying, like, how can we do these things and give the gospel? We have to. And we'll talk about that a lot in the few coming weeks. So, when circumstance and affliction come my way, I know these things. Number one, God is always merciful to me. Number two, God will always comfort me. And number three, God is always preparing me to comfort others. In other words, God comforts us so that we may know him fully and so that others will know him fully through us. May we always be bold to share the comfort that we have received from God with others so that they can also know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It says the same way, the same comfort we received, God comforts us so that we can comfort others in that same way. And last week we talked about all the ways, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, his word, prayer, relationship. So if he wants us to comfort people, we've got to be ready to share the true comfort that's there. So I want to go into a time of response. Was short, wasn't it? Pretty good. And I want you guys to reflect on some of these questions. Why is it sometimes hard to turn to God for comfort first when circumstances come? Say it again. Why is it sometimes hard to turn to God for comfort first? For God to be the first person we turn to when circumstance comes, like right in the middle of it. Why is that hard for us? Who we turn to first indicates trust. True trust. You say all day long, you trust in God, but if you don't turn to Him when times come, He's not the first person, then it shows that we trust, and ultimately we worship other things. We've put other things before Him, right? Whether it's friends or family or just our own thoughts, just like mulling it over. Not thoughts that are prayer, like just our thoughts, like just anxiety and worrying about things, right? You know, that kind of stuff. Ultimately, trust in ourselves and our ability to work through it more than we trust in God. And what God wants in the middle of affliction is to say, hey, look, like just rely on me. I've got it. Whatever you need, I've got it. Learn to come to me. Love my word. Run to me. Don't run to studying. Like run to worship gathering on Sunday nights, you know? Take a break on Wednesdays and run to my word. Take a break, you know? Whatever it is, why do we do those things? And process it, because we need to repent from it. God needs to be first. Number two, why is it sometimes hard to trust God in the middle of circumstances? What is it? Maybe He's not tangible to you in the way they should be. You know? Maybe it's your view of God. Or maybe it's the way God in the past, you know, like you turned to Him in the middle of it and He didn't have the answer that you wanted. So many of us are mad at God for not keeping promises that He never made. We're still holding God to these promises that if you knew His word, like you would know He didn't make that promise. Yet you feel let down. And that's the way you operate in the midst of circumstance. And it's big. Why is it hard to trust God for us sometimes in the middle of circumstances? Reflect on this. Do you have a circumstance in your life where God comforted you through it? Or He comforted you? How did He comfort you? And if you don't have that experience, that could indicate something's really missing in your life. Like you don't have a relationship with God. So I'm telling you, if God is real and He's who He says He is, He's the God of all comfort. And if you have a relationship with Him, He's comforted you. That's big in multiple ways. And in fact, there's so many ways that we don't attribute to Him that He comforts us every day, all the time. We just go through like we just deserve it, like we're entitled to the things that we have every day. And it's amazing all the ways He inherently comforts us. I said last week, just the fact that we don't have to worry about dying, really, like nothing can happen to us. Nothing in this world can take that away. The hope of life and the hope of a better life than here. It's amazing. He comforts us. Last question, have you been able to comfort others because of an experience you've been through or because of provision in your life from God? Have you been able to? If so, how? How have you been able to do it? Praise God for those opportunities. Pray for more. And if you haven't been able to do that, how in the future can you use those experiences or those opportunities that God gives to comfort others? Are you even focused on it? Because if this text is true, which it is, then God comforted you so that you can comfort others. That's why He did it. And so the completion and the fulfillment of His comfort in your life will be when it doesn't just stay with you, when it goes to someone else. And that's a step of obedience we have to take. We have to take, and we have to take boldly. No matter if we're going to face persecution or suffering or laughter from people, or if it removes us from other things that we thought we wanted in our life, whatever it means, we have to fulfill the purpose in which God's comforted us.
We are so encouraged that you chose to engage with God's Word on our Provenance podcast. For more biblical teaching, resources, media, and to financially support the mission of Provenance, please visit ProvenanceChurch.com. Until next time, go equip one another to embody humanity's one true purpose.